Welcome to the Upshot Subscriber Bonus Segment. He's Jamie.
I'm Charlie.
And today we are talking about the Disc Golf Pro Tour's path back to competition. So Jamie, the plan right now is for the Disc Golf Pro Tour still to return for the Portland Open to be played without fans. And I think I want to start this conversation by taking a look at what the PGA Tour is doing and their plan to return. Because I do think, having spoken to Jeff Spring about this a bunch in the past, and just sort of looking at the overall landscape, the Pro Tour is likely to be taking cues from the PGA Tour on what it is that they do, how they return, what that looks like, and so I think it's a good place to begin the discussion. So here we go. From this week, the PGA Tour, they still plan to return in mid-June. And they are hoping to come back for four tournaments that will be played without fans. The Charles Schwab Challenge, the RBC Heritage, the Travelers Championship, and the Rocket Mortgage Classic. And Tuesday, a couple days ago, they sent a 37-page memo to players outlining their plan to return. So here are some of the sort of like the key takeaways. And thank God I am using ESPN here and not going through all 37 pages with you right now. So the tour plans to have extensive testing at its events, including thermal readings and COVID-19 exams, either through like a nasal swab or saliva swab, as well as doing pre-travel screening. Players and caddies will be tested on arrival with daily questionnaires and temperature tests. The plan is to do one test of players per week plus daily monitoring of their temperature and overall health. If a player tests positive, they would have to withdraw from the event and the tour and quarantine themselves. They are also planning to offer a charter flight between events, a specifically chartered flight for players and caddies getting first priority. This flight would just basically go from one event to the next. They would not have to go through commercial aircraft. They would just fly this charter flight. The plan is to have specific hotels set aside for players and caddies. And that's where players would be if they were not at the course. So it's like, you go to the hotel, you go to the course, you go back to the hotel. Caddies will be expected to maintain 6 feet of distance between players. Somehow, that will have to be a thing. Players are expected to take and return clubs to the bag themselves, and there will be sanitation material at each hole to be able to wipe down clubs, flag sticks, and rakes. They are going to be doing social distancing on the course, as you would expect. Let's see. There's some stuff about international players. If international players come over, they'll have to quarantine themselves for 14 days before they're allowed to join the tour. And then that's kind of like the big stuff, and there's a bunch of smaller things. So that's a lot of stuff. And I guess the question that I would throw to you, Jamie, at first is, does the Disc Golf Pro Tour need to follow a similar set of rules and regulations if they are to return to competition?
Well, let me phrase it like this. They can't. The Disc Golf Pro Tour can't do any of that stuff you just read. They can't do a lot of that stuff you just read anyway. My advice to Jeff Spring, can totally ignore what I'm saying right now. Stop looking at the PGA at this point. You can't buy charter flights for your players. And of course, Rory McIlroy is going to do 5 brain swabs. I've heard those tests are pretty painful. he's going to do 5 brain swabs. He could win $7 million at a tour event.
Mm-hmm.
You think these pros are going to show up in their RVs? And first of all, like, let's ignore the fact that the Pro Tour does not have the weight to get laboratories to speed up their testing.
I agree 100%.
Barely has the weight. Like, disc golf generally does not have the weight to get multiple hotels to bend to their will. Maybe now a little more. Hotels may be a little more in need right now. But generally, we don't have that big of weight yet to swing around. PGA is throwing some money around because it's still, they desperately need golf to start because they have a lot of money to give out and they have a lot of courses that are failing and going under in these economic times. They have to get golf started back up because the whole house of cards might collapse in terms of like down to the grassroots level. Disc golf doesn't have this problem. Disc golf has people wanting to get out, wanting to build more courses. We have golf courses asking to build disc golf courses on their property. So the situations are different in that way, and I think that's important to note because that's one of the reasons the PGA has to do this stuff. They have to go so far above and beyond because they're desperate to get this thing started again. I think the Pro Tour is at bigger risk here because the Pro Tour is on a positive streak right now, and they could lose a lot from the optics and the PR standpoint if they put in place a system for returning that they can't adequately keep up or that the players don't get on with, right? That's sort of my initial reaction. And I know we want to talk more in depth about certain things.
It's totally fair. I mean, I don't dispute that there's no way they're going to be able to charter flights for players to go from tournament to tournament. I mean, that's obviously so far above and beyond anything that would even be reasonable that I didn't really mean that, but right. I meant more like a rigorous system of testing and, watching players' health. The thing is, it's a tricky situation for the Pro Tour. You might have potentially even a sizable contingent of professional disc golfers who are like, I want to play. I'm happy to travel. I don't care if there's risk. And we just want to get back on the course. I don't know if that applies to everybody, but it probably applies to a lot. And this is people's livelihood. I understand that people want to get back to work. That is like, it's so stark right now. You know, people, like many, many millions of people have lost their jobs. And it's professional disc golfers aren't the same as people who are working in like a factory and that can't work, but it's still their job. So the thing is, like, is it irresponsible for the Pro Tour to come back without a testing system in place or some kind of way of ensuring that people aren't sick? You know, I know that like the risk of this disease to people who are, you know, under 40 years old, which is going to be the vast majority of people on tour, isn't very high. But, you know, I don't know that you can take that chance if you're the Pro Tour. And this, of course, all still kind of sits on the question of, are they even going to be allowed to hold events if they're not PDGA sanctioned? And we have this new 5-step PDGA sanctioning rule. If they're willing to do the event, but the PDGA says we're not going to sanction it, like, will they do it? I honestly don't think so.
Yeah. Here's the thing. There's no perfect answer for this. If they open up too slow, they're going to get clapped back because of livelihood. If they open up too fast, they're going to get clapped back because people are going to say, oh, you're getting other people sick. I think there's a best case scenario. And, you know, again, we don't know a lot of things about the virus, and Charlie knows I've been very insistent on like being very careful about not talking about the medical side of it. The sort of borders on that. So take everything we're saying here, you know, with a grain of salt. We're not medical professionals, but I had to get that caveat off the chest. Paul McBeth, unless he has underlying conditions, is not likely in the extremely high risk category. Paul McBeth is also somebody with a fully formed brain who can make decisions, and he can say, hey, I'm not going to go see my grandma right now. I got a family member who has these things. I'm already in quarantine. I'm already in my home. I'm going to go do my job and then I'm going to go home. I'm not going to be around these people right now. Like, I think there is definitely some people out there going to say, hey, there's free will here and you can trust people to do the right thing. I think that's a legitimate argument. I think it will get trounced by some other arguments, but I think it's a legitimate argument. Disc golf doesn't have tens of thousands of fans. If we get 1,000 fans, with the exception of European Open, we celebrate it like hell. So if you have no fans, okay, no fans, great. I don't think that's that hard. That it's like way more of a thing to the PGA Tour,
sure,
in terms of revenue loss than it is to the Pro Tour.
Yeah, of course.
So I think that's an easy solve. That one element. But like when you're talking about the PGA Tour, they are still doing some things that seem to me to be very optics based and not very medically based. And I'm treading on ground here, but you're going to have the caddies not touch the clubs. Caddies are with their golfers like wives are with their husband golfers. Like caddies are there on practice days. They're in practice rounds. They're always next. Like they're interacting with those people as much as possible. So like when you go that far and you're like, okay, caddies, you can be there, but you can't touch the club. You can't do like a third of your job. They have other jobs. They got to read the distances. They got to, you know, mentally coach the player. But now I got to mentally coach and yell at you from 6 feet away. I can't touch the club.
And I can't be within 6 feet of you, which means that when you come to get the club, like what? You have like lay the bag down on the ground, walk away. The player gets the club out. You go back to the bag. You pick up the bag. Like it does seem a little ridiculous.
Because we're like ignoring the fact that other viruses exist in the world and caddies and players have probably developed some like small sample immunity or like they've given each other antibodies from each other kind of thing.
If you're doing the testing and you make the caddies wear a mask, then I think it should be fine. I mean, there was just a UFC event, no fans. This was just this past weekend, no fans.
Mm-hmm.
They tested everybody and, you know, people were wearing masks who were not the fighters. They had masks and gloves. They were clearly being careful about that. But I mean, it's not like they told the trainers, like, you can't be within 6 feet of the fighter. Like, if everybody's tested and everybody's negative and nobody has symptoms, like, I feel like that's totally okay. That seems like an acceptable way to run an event. It's an individual sport. I think that the PGA Tour has a similar situation where it's like if they can do the testing and they can follow the guidelines at the course, it seems like a reasonable thing to do.
Right.
And I think in theory, the Disc Golf Pro Tour could follow similar rules. I just think it's going to be difficult to have that kind of testing enforcement. Even if you could get the tests, it might be cost prohibitive to do it that way. And I think without tests, it might just be a non-starter. Until things are like people are saying it's okay not to socially distance anymore, which doesn't seem like it's going to happen anytime soon.
Well, here's the other thing that confuses me. This is just what I've struggled with this whole time with this thing, is what's being made from a medical and scientific and population-wide health standpoint, and what's being made from an optics standpoint. Because here's the thing. The big debate in this country right now, and I guess around the world, but I know in this country, is it testing or is it contact tracing or is it both? And if it's only one, and we are disc golf, for crying out loud, you can contact trace the Pro Tour. There's not that many. There's just not that many people. So the problem is going to become... And I'm not being obtuse for people listening. I'm not being obtuse to like the fact that there are complications. I'm just trying to like talk about this in an express way. Yeah, you got to be careful. Like maybe you need to spend money on a hotel. Maybe you need to try to leverage a hotel because you can't have these players just being with random people and then going to a different town and staying in some random other person's yard and using their shower and stuff like that. Like that's how the tour is. That's the reality of this tour. So yeah, you're not going to be able to contact trace from there, and you're going to have people going across state lines, and then that becomes a headache and a nightmare for everybody. So you can't do stuff like that. But, you know, like, where's the line in which you say, okay, we're going to follow this so that we are not spreading this virus unduly, because we're not going to be able to stop it completely. People are asymptomatic. That's just a fact. We're going to do our best to reduce the spread, and we are going to eliminate the known spread of this virus, protect the health of the players, obviously, and allow them to have a livelihood. But like, you see what I'm getting at? Like, how do you determine what the line is? Because the caddy thing to me on the PGA Tour just seems like optics. And for that and many other reasons, I don't think the PDGA, or the Pro Tour anyway, I think we have to start deviating. I think you have to get in the room with the local authorities and say, here's the reality of our scenario. Here's how many people are going to be there. Here's the things we can do to help practice social distancing. Here's the ways in which we as the facilitator, the tour, can minimize contact between people. Like, I think you just have to go in and find a way, because I think looking at other sports leagues, they just have so much that we don't have to do something in a short period of time.
Yeah, I mean, I think the unfortunate truth, Jamie, is that the fact that the Pro Tour is small and is not even close to being on the level of the PGA Tour means that you're going to be one of the last groups to get back out there. I mean, there's too much uncertainty with allowing players to drive from all over the country to descend on one place and not have testing and contact tracing and control over the movement of players to some extent. I just think it's a non-starter. And this assumes that events are allowed. I think even if, you know, Oregon gives the thumbs up and the PDGA is willing to approve the Portland Open, and that's a big if on its own, then you're still running into this situation where it's like you're trying to have this big event with people from all over the place who are all over the country right now, coming into a city, into a community. And if you're not going to have, like, if I'm the Portland mayor, I'm going to be like, no, you're not having this event. Like, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks. But I just think that that's the situation that we're in.
Well, there is an area in which the PGA has an advantage over disc golf, and it's pretty significant, actually, which is, well, aside from what we're saying, but I'm saying, like, in terms of, you know, flipping this on its head, the biggest problem that disc golf is going to have, even though it's such a smaller thing, is that we have open tournaments. By the way, a completely overused term in disc golf, because open events means open registration. So the Pro Tour has to do what the PDGA does, the PGA does, and have invite events. You can't walk up and sign up and play against Brooks Koepka. You got to earn your card. You got a tour card, you're not playing. So I think, honestly, the reality of the Pro Tour, the best shot they have at, like, talking to local governments and getting them to, you know, possibly face PR backlash and things like that. Because remember, you're going to have to work with the cities. You're going to have to work with politicians. Politicians have to get reelected, and they're absolutely not going to say yes just to be like, you know what? You disc golfers seem all right. If it's going to be constituent backlash, they're not going to do it. So that's the bar you have to pass with the locals. And I think there's no way that happens realistically unless you have an invite-only tournament. So, sorry, you don't get to play Pro Tour events. The top 50 or top 72 or whatever it is, you got to break it out, and only those people are allowed to play. And that sucks for people that are borderline touring pros.
Yeah.
But that's, you want disc golf or do you not at this point?
Yeah. I mean, if you're thinking about having, like, restricted sized events, you know, sub 50, you could see that. And if the Pro Tour wants to come back that badly, I mean, in terms of their product that they will be delivering, which will not be to local fans, it will be on, like, live streams and recorded by media. If you have the top 20 players, you're good. So that's something to consider.
That's all we see anyway.
That's what I'm saying.
We don't have the media capacity to see past that.
That's what I'm saying.
Stop, like, this. Hey, you know what this may be, Charlie? This may be the point in which we can stop funneling the money up to the winner of the tournament from the locals who go out and just, like, pay to donate just for the experience.
Yeah, I don't know if we're there yet.
I don't think we're there yet either, but I think we don't take that next big step. You know, everybody talks about next big step. I don't think we take that as a sport until we address that.
Yeah.
But, you know, this may be a weird catalyst to that, because it's not going to be a popular decision if and when it happens. You might as well just use this to say, all right, sorry, situation forced our hand. And then in 6 months, you're going to see that you don't have to worry about your rounds being slowed down an extra an hour because a 960 guy like me is outplaying the San Francisco Open. You know? And I played pretty well in that tournament for me, but I know I'm still slowing down the people behind me a little bit. Not perfect. I don't throw 500. So that's got to happen one way or the other at some point.
Well, I guess we'll see. As it stands, Portland Open still on the calendar. And hey, if they can figure it out and they can do it in a way that makes sense and is safe, I am so ready for that. I mean, I am 100% for it. I just don't know if it's possible. For early July.
Let me ask you the final question on this.
Sure.
What level of risk is acceptable to you? And this is just, I'm asking you, Charlie Eisenhood. You don't have to speak for anybody else. What is the level of risk that's acceptable for you or that you would expect players to take on? Because I'm going to go ahead and bust the bubble. Zero risk is A, not the world, even pre-coronavirus. That's not the world we live in. And B, it's impossible now. So, you know, how far do you think the Pro Tour has to go? And at what point do you turn to the pros and say, okay, this is a pretty dang good deal. You guys want to make this money. You're going to have to accept this level of risk.
Well, I mean, obviously everybody's personal risk tolerance is going to come into play here. And sure. If somebody, you know, has underlying health conditions, maybe they say it's not worth it to me to try to go scrape out $1,000 at this tournament. And of course, that's going to be part of the calculus here. You know, my personal risk tolerance, I feel like if I were a touring pro and it was an option for me to return to competition, I would probably play. Like I'm fine with that. And like I'm doing all that I can here in New York to follow the guidelines. I wear a mask when I go outside, but I go outside. You know, I go to the park and I play catch. And if I'm not around any other people, I might take my mask off so I can get some fresh air. And, you know, I think, you know, you can't just like live in your house. I mean, if you can, and that's fine for you, great. I need to get some like sunshine and some air.
I can't.
Yeah. And you know, I haven't gone out to play disc golf. I haven't been on the subway in like over 2 months, maybe 3 months. I haven't been on a bus in 3 months. I did go in a zip car to Costco once, and the line was an hour long, so I turned around and I went home. I didn't go to Costco.
Forget it.
I don't need to go that badly. But the question, you know, the question is not like, is every in, like, I don't think for the Pro Tour, it's not just like, hey, if you're willing to take the risks, sign this waiver that says that you won't sue us if you get coronavirus. I think there's more to it than that. You have to have you have to literally be allowed to host an event. You have to like be checking in with the local authorities. And I think there is a responsibility of the organization to the players to not just say, don't sue me if you get coronavirus, but to like make sure that people are not getting unduly put at risk. And that comes from like the social distancing stuff. Sure. That's easy for disc golf, I think. You know, no caddies. Okay, no problem. Most players don't use a caddy anyway.
Yeah, barely use them.
Fine, right? 6 feet away from each other. Fine. Tee times 25 minutes apart. Totally doable. We can do those things. Playing the actual physical game is coronavirus safe, or can be made coronavirus safe. And you can go above and beyond. You can wipe down the discs and the chains with the, you know, Lysol wipe every hole. You want to take those extra precautions? Great. I think that's fine.
That would be the caddy rule to me, but that's a side point.
Fair enough. I mean, but, you know,
but keep going.
You get my point. Like, you could do that. It's 100%. Not like a big cost or difficulty.
Yeah.
The question
is...
You
got a guy in, like, pro tour garb.
Like, but, like, nice if uniform. Somebody... If somebody on tour has coronavirus and they're asymptomatic and they're spreading it, like even in these, you know, if you're following all the rules, like you're still putting people at risk of getting it. And if you're not doing testing, I just don't see it. I don't see it working.
Yeah.
Anybody who's doing sports stuff right now is doing aggressive testing. So if you're not going to do that, I just don't think you can come back until we're down the road and people are saying it's okay to have events and not socially distance. And I'm not talking about whether or not like that's the correct rules that states have or whatever. Like that's a sigh. Like mm-hmm. It just, this is the reality for sports to come back right now. And I don't think that the Pro Tour is, you know, in a position necessarily to get all those tests and do all that work.
Volunteer to be a basket wiper on the Pro Tour today. Jeez. You like a shirt, a uniform only in the back of the Jomez coverage. God. It's like the ball boys at the tennis courts. You know, they run super fast,
sprint
and
out,
super still. Yeah. You gotta hold the position and then run in and wipe it and run out. Anyway, yeah. Look, I think reasonable expectations. Like if you reasonably believe the Pro Tour is doing the best they can do, and of course they're going to sign waivers. I guarantee you, even if the states say it's okay, Pro Tour better have a waiver. They better. I don't care.
Course.
I don't care if I don't care if every governor and the president come out tomorrow and go, it's all good. Coronavirus magically disappeared overnight because we sprinkled unicorn dust on it. Pro Tour better still have a waiver for the next year or so, at least. And on top of that, like. Reasonable testing. You can't do what the PGA does, but maybe you could say, hey, all right, you want to play on this? You're invited. You're invited to play on the Pro Tour this season. You have to have a test within, or you have to have a test 2 weeks before each event. There's not that many events left in the season. Five, six tests.
Right. You put the onus on the players to get themselves tested and show paperwork, you know, within X days of the event. That shows
you
that they're negative.
You submit it with your registration.
That seems plausible, right?
And then you do the social distancing, all those things you're saying, and then you just contact trace. We have the tournament registry list. We know because of UDisc who played with who each day.
You can break it
out by card. So if something does happen and someone was asymptomatic or they got a false negative on a test or something like that, in those cases, we at least have recourse to go back down the hole, because like we're saying, you can't guarantee there's a 0% risk ever.
No, and these testing isn't perfect either. So, mm-hmm. I mean, there has to be some bounds of reasonableness and rationality here.
But I think we're on the same page that I think it's time to stop looking at other leagues and start looking at the reality of our game.
I mean, I just don't think that, I don't agree with that statement. I think you do have to look at what other leagues are doing. Now, I'm not saying that you need to charter a jet to take people from tournament to tournament, but you have to recognize that, like, from a big picture standpoint, like, testing is going to be required to return to play. And it doesn't necessarily have to be you buying the tests, but, like, there has to be a testing protocol in place that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. I'm with you there. I guess the perspective I'm coming, the reason I phrased it like that is because now, because fans are starting to get a little more desperate and because leagues do have the money, it's not that the leagues didn't want to have no interruption or anything. It's that they didn't want to spend the money to do these things to make sure that their season goes uninterrupted until they absolutely have to. And obviously it got interrupted. So now you're staring at a scenario that people who are used to making millions and millions and billions in some cases of dollars, they want that money back. So they're going to start throwing money that we don't have and have never
of
had
course, of course.
To fix the problem. So that's why I say like, okay.
I'm with you there.
Yeah,
by the way,
that's my point.
Here's a list of services that are normally available on the PGA Tour. Daycare, clubhouse gyms, concierge services, laundry services, valet parking, and event tickets. Those, by the way, are not going to be available during these coronavirus tournaments if they happen. But just a little side note about the difference between the Disc Golf Pro Tour and the PGA Tour.
It's crazy to me how well PGA pros are taken care of. And mind you, they don't pay entry fees on the tour. Once you have your card, you don't pay entry fee to get into the tournament. And then you look at like the rest of golf, and golf courses are falling into disrepair and they're closing and people are not playing or buying clubs as much. It's like the gap between the pro scene and the everyday scene in golf. Sometimes it just shocks me that the pro scene is as good as it is. Like, that's a luxury life.
For sure is.
It's hard to get there. Like, I'm not, you know, ain't nobody rolling up in an RV and just saying, hey, I'm kind of good at this golf thing. You know?
Sign me up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, let us know your thoughts. Discgolf@oldtworld.com. No, scratch that. You can email that, but you should email upshot@oldtworld.com.
That's us.
That's us. And we will. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this, and if you have innovative ideas on what the Pro Tour could do or should do, we'd love to hear them. For Jamie Thomas, Charlie Eisenhood, saying so long. We'll talk to you next week, right here on the Upshot Subscriber Bonus segment. Thanks so much for being a subscriber.
Yeah, y'all are awesome. See ya.